Hello and welcome to SciTalk, the podcast where we take a deeper look under the microscope. I'm your host, Aisha.
And I'm your host, Shalane.
And in today's podcast, we will be taking you behind the lab into the life of a biomedical student. Let's begin with discussing practical life at A-level compared to university.
Well, for there to start off with, that is, it's very different. For me, especially with my experience, because we both went to different colleges to study. It's very different in the sense of that we're more aware of the precautions. When we started in first year, do you remember we took a test on all the hazards and the signs? Like, we had to know the signs, what they meant. We took a maths test, didn't we? Or something similar to that, based on a practical maths test to know how to do calculations and measurements. First of all, pipetting is so different. Even just the numbers and the units you're dealing with, because we're using micro units, they're much smaller. Everything's more precise. In terms of kind of supervision, there isn't really. You have, like, I mean, first year there is. I mean, there's still supervision, but it's more that, like, you're independent. You know, you're at a stage of your education where you know what you're doing. No one needs to supervise you. You're carrying out your experiment. There's more independence in it as well. The microscopes are different. A lot of the techniques you do, you'll be like, be new to you, that you're introduced to. A lot of the equipment you use, you wouldn't have used before. Like, maybe your teacher would have told you about it. You would have learned it in your book, but you wouldn't have used it necessarily.
Yeah.
Like a centrifuge. I never used a centrifuge during my A-levels. Like, even in chemistry or anything. We haven't... Oh, there's a lot of cell samples. So many. So many.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of various lab techniques that you learn at university, and new lab equipment as well that you get to use. And I definitely agree with being more independent, because with the methods, they're more detailed, but they're also more complex kind of to understand. But yeah, I guess you kind of have to just use your own knowledge and try and follow it as best as you can. Also, I would say the practicals are more case study based. For example, in one of the practicals that we did was on immunohistochemistry, and it was to analyze the expression of HER2 receptors to diagnose breast cancer. So it's also, most of it's related to different case studies that we need to either diagnose or analyze different types of data.
Yeah, it's also a lot stricter in terms of, do you remember when we were dealing with different kind of bacteria, and you are not allowed your phone in the lab?
No,
you are not never. Allowed water in the lab. They always tell you, like, secondary school and in college as well, like, no, but I feel like it's not strict. Like, this is actually serious, because if you get it in there and you end up with a stomach bug or something else, or something far worse than that, it's going to be serious. You are not allowed in there. You are not allowed to bring any of those things in there. You have to be very careful, and everything that you do, you have to do with a methodical approach. You have to work in a certain way, in a set way. Like, everything kind of follows a set of instructions. But no pressure on anyone. it's we're making it seem like very pressurizing, but you just have to be very careful what you're doing. But yeah, it is very different in terms of A-level, because you're at a different point of your education. So it's going to be, and you're more independent at university than compared to college. Also for us, we had to print out our own protocol. Whereas before, I'm sure you get printed out for you. Yeah. Also, lab partners, it changes all the time. You've got associate, you know, you might have a different lab partner. It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends if it's like your friends in your course or in your lab group that you can work with. You're not like assigned to a certain thing.
They usually split us up into different groups because with our course, there's, I think, over 200 people doing biomedical science. So, yeah, they usually split you up, and obviously you might not be with your friends, so that kind of forces you to go and socialise with other people.
But I think at that stage, for people that think, oh, I want to be my friends and all that stuff, yeah, it's great, you socialise, trust me, but when you're in education, like, you're in that mode, don't think like that you can make friends easily and socialise with people. When you're in the working world, it's not like everyone's going to be your best friend. You're not always going to be tied to the hip or joined by with your best friend, so... You know, you've got to work at a professional level, because at the end of the day, it's about your work and getting your results done. One big problem is that you have to really follow the instructions, because you can get really bad results. And this is not as easy as, you can't just take someone else's results, you know, like in secondary school, maybe you could pull off with that, or in college, you could pull off with taking someone else's data. It's really hard. You have to make sure you do things correctly. Even when you're pipetting, you have to be very, very careful. Yeah. Make sure you're taking the right amount. The smallest drop can make a difference. And then you have to start your experiment all over again, and you're just in the lab all day, and it, trust me, it's terrible. Like, you have to be careful. I remember when we were talking, you were just saying about the HER2 and the breast cancer. I think some people made a misdiagnosis in that case study. I'm sure some people must have, because we have a group chat, which most people are like to have in university, and people were saying, oh, what did everyone get? Like, what diagnosis did everyone get? And people were giving different opinions. I'm just thinking, oh, from my experiments, this is what I got. This is what you got? Okay. Yeah. Well, someone's doing something wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you make a mistake... Yeah, you basically have to start again. Yeah. And it's time taken out of your day, because obviously at A-level we have set times. Like, it's usually maybe one lecture is an hour or 2 hours. With the practicals at uni, they can last as long as 5 hours.
Mm.
So depending on how well and precise you're doing the practical, the quicker you can finish. So, yeah, you need to make sure that you use your time wisely when you're doing these practicals.
Yeah, we're making it sound very pressured, but it's really not. You get the hang into it. You're kind of easing into it in first year anyways. First year isn't intense at all. And it's like the second and third year. But once you know what you're doing, which you will, it just comes easy. But it's just in comparison to A-levels. Like, if A-level me, like college me, went straight, like not even thinking of first year, it went straight to now, and had to be put into a practical at university level, yeah, what's going on? But yeah, make sure you know your units. Make sure you know your units and how to convert, or like write them down, and learn the equations. That helps. Always write the equations at the start of your book.
Yeah,
that's really helpful.
Basically, just recap on like the essential topics that you need in chemistry and biology.
Yeah.
In terms of work pressure and workload, there's definitely a big difference from A-level to university, because obviously the lectures, there's more content that you have to learn, and with these lectures as well, it helps to read articles and read different types of research and just give yourself extra knowledge on different topics, because that will definitely help when it comes to exams. But lectures will definitely advise you as well to read articles.
In fact, they will like recommend you the reading that you need to do. Just to kind of say before you continue into anything, that if you're thinking, oh no, I can't be bothered to do that, remember how much you're paying university. <Yes. laughs> And that attitude is not going to last long, because even if you don't want to, you're going to end up needing to, because some content you're not going to understand just from the lecture, because it's not going to give you a full insight. So you need to end up doing extra reading, whether it's their recommending reading or online reading. So there's actually this website that you can use called Sci-Hub, which if you copy and paste a URL or write the title of a scientific book or study or anything that's actually inaccessible to you because you have to pay for it, if you put it in there, you can access it for free, which is very helpful for research, especially if you're doing your literature review. Because that's what I did, and I'm sure you did as well, which is really helpful.
Also, I would say with coursework, start early. Even start the day maybe that it's set, like a few days after that the coursework is set, because a lot of students tend to leave it till late and end up rushing and might not have done well because they didn't start early. So yeah, that's definitely a thing to do, even if it's just to read the assessment brief to know what the coursework is about and stuff.
What I find helpful with coursework and assignments are with this assessment brief, if I highlight everything in it, especially if it's a case study, I can highlight all the important stuff. I do my research. I write my research in a different colour underneath all those points, just so I fully understand. And then that's when I start to write. But most kind of, it depends where you go and how they do it. This is just from our experience from our university. Most of them might, well, we were asked questions which kind of formulated and like structured our writing, because we had to answer those questions, but you didn't have to do it in the exact structure, but that kind of structured it. If it's just, you're just given just, I don't know, some data, you can like read some other forms. I think it helped me when I read other pieces of writing, in particular.
I'll say you'll find that probably at the beginning of when you start your coursework, you might not really understand the topic as much. But then as you go on to read more and more articles, you'll start to understand the research that other people have done and basically understand your topic more.
Yeah, that was us with our literature review, actually. To be honest, we thought, because it's, oh, it's only 1,000 words, it's not that bad. We did kind of push it late, not too late, not like 2 days before. I think we pushed it like a week or two before.
Two weeks
or something. Trust me, they're giving it to you early for a reason. start because literature review, it took so much reading, because it's on a topic you don't understand. I found that was really difficult for me. It was really one of my most difficult things. I talk about it all the time, actually, because it's an achievement I'm very proud of. Because it was difficult, and I did kind of push it late. But with that being said, I spent like every day those 2 weeks, spending the whole day doing my research, writing, doing research, writing. Like I did a lot of, we did a lot of reading. We were in the library for hours.
We did. Because there's a lot of articles that you need to include. Like for us, the minimum amount of articles is, I think, 20. So, yeah, the more articles that you read, the better. And for us, it needs to be primary literature. Primary sources. And you can't just read, like, let's say, the first few paragraphs. You need to read the whole article to, like, make sure you understand what you're actually reading.
Yeah, it's not just, oh, let me just read the abstract. No, read the research so it's actually applicable. Also, you have to make sure it's relevant. So if you're reading an abstract, you think, oh, yeah, that's relevant, I'm just going to reference this because I see it in the abstract. No, because the rest of the whole article might not relate to your thing at all. So it's an unnecessary reference. That's what I've been advised. So you want to make sure that you're referencing correct things, and you have to be really careful with your sources and make sure it's the original one, because you could be referencing another review that's referencing reviewing another review, you know what I mean? Like you need to be very careful. It's kind of difficult actually to find primary sources, but we find it quite difficult.
Yeah, I mean the uni really helped, because with us we have loads of different resources, loads of different articles on our library website. So through the website, we were able to pick what kind of articles we wanted specifically and if we wanted them to be primary resources or not.
For us, what was, do you remember what your literature review was on?
Yeah, mine was about the Spindle Assembly checkpoint.
Okay, interesting, yeah.
What was yours about?
Mine was pseudo genes as key players in cancer biology.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had no idea what they were before doing
me
it.
Me neither.
Yeah, you kind of got a learn for it. But we both did very well on ours, so
yeah.
Trust me, this advice is raw advice.
Because of how broad biomedical science is, there's a lot of different fields that you can go into afterwards. When working in the medical field.
An example being forensic science. You can go into, you can be a scientist and go into many aspects of research. That is, I think that's the main one that people do. They go into scientific research. They go into different research paths. Most of our professors are in scientific research. They're in a particular topic. So I think that's the main one. The big one. The big one, medicine and dentistry, the medical route, you know.
Which is what we're trying to get into after we graduate,
that is,
dentistry.
That is our achievement, the end goal. You can go into marketing, into a scientific company as well. You can go into be an analytical chemist, a biotechnologist, you can be a biomedical scientist. You can go into pharmacology or pharmacy.
Pharmacology.
Yeah, clinical scientist.
Physician associate.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's many options for it because it is a science degree, but it also has medical value and it's a broad one. It's, you're studying all the sciences at once. So
but with some of them, you do need to go into further education.
Yeah.
To actually do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad from graduate entry. I mean, you've got the main thing and you've learned it from a higher education point of view, you know, compared to like A-levels and going straight into something. You're prepared. I've been your host, Elaine.
And I've been your host, Aisha. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and thank you for listening.